Was Joseph Smith called of God? Elder Bruce R. McConkie, Bruce R. McConkie, Conference Report, April 1964, pages 25-28. To all who love the Lord and desire salvation in His kingdom, I pose this question: was Joseph Smith called of God? In every age, the great question is whether the prophet of the day was sent of God. Those who faced the peril of a world-destroying flood were required to answer this question. Was Noah called of God? Those seeking escape from slavery in Egypt were forced to decide. Was Moses called of God? Those among whom our Lord Himself ministered had to decide at the peril of their own eternal salvation whether Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah, the very Son of God. And so it is today, in an age when some people assume that deity no longer speaks through prophets as He did anciently. The great question facing honest truth seekers is, was Joseph Smith called of God? If Joseph Smith was called of God, the gospel plan restored through his instrumentality is the mind and will of the Lord and the only way whereby men can gain full salvation in the kingdom of heaven. God has spoken again. Accordingly, we announce that God has spoken again in our day, that the heavens are no longer sealed, that revelation has commenced anew, that the promised era of restoration and gathering has begun. We teach and testify that God has restored the fullness of His everlasting gospel, that the Church of Jesus Christ in all its glory, beauty, and perfection has again been set up on earth, that the very kingdom of God is again here among men. He has conferred power from on high. We speak with surety of angels coming to earth to confer priesthood, to bestow keys, to minister to man. We proclaim that an unchangeable God, in whose sight a soul is just as precious today as it ever was, has again poured out upon His saints the same signs, the same gifts of the Spirit, the same miracles enjoyed of old. We are witnesses that the plan of salvation is revealed anew, and we are doing all in our power to teach its terms and conditions to our Father's children everywhere, so that they can gain peace in this life and eternal life in the world to come. If all this is true and we so testify, there neither is nor can be any message to compare with it. If the voice of God is heard again, if angels are descending again from the courts on high, if the gift of the Holy Ghost is again poured out upon men, what is there in all the earth to compare in importance with it? And it all began, for our day, with Joseph Smith and other faithful souls associated with him. In the spring of 1820, a spirit of religious revivalism swept the frontier areas of America. Contending professors of religion were crying, "Lo, here is Christ," or "Lo, there." Finding himself in the midst of this war of words and tumult of opinions, Joseph Smith was led by the Spirit to ask, "Who of all these parties are right, or, are they all wrong together? If any one of them be right, which is it, and how shall I know it?" He read in the Epistle of James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Guided by the Spirit, he did ask of God, and since the time had come for the opening of this final great gospel dispensation, and because he was the one chosen from eternity to commence the work, he received a transcendent heavenly manifestation, the first vision. I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head, above the brightness of the sun, he says, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages, whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Then from the lips of the resurrected Lord, the young prophet received the command to join none of the sects of the day, and also the promise that if he remained true and faithful, he would be the instrument in the Lord's hands to restore again to earth the fullness of the everlasting gospel. In due course, amid testings and trials, other revelations came. The Book of Mormon was revealed, translated, and published as a new witness of Christ and His gospel, an inspired record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of America. Angels restored the priesthood and keys so essential to the work of the Lord on earth. The doctrines of salvation, as preserved in the Bible, were confirmed and clarified by modern revelation, new light and knowledge, new revelation, to meet all the challenges of a modern world, were added to the canon of Scripture. The Church organized, on April 6, 1830, by revelation and commandment, the Church of Jesus Christ, the same organization set up and perfected by Jesus and His apostles of old, was again established among men. In it the Lord placed apostles and prophets, revelation and visions, signs and miracles, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the true doctrines of salvation indeed, all that was enjoyed by those of old who wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and gained eternal life. To this newly set up kingdom of our Lord, the command came to carry the restored message of salvation to all men. With this commission came the revealed promise that the gospel would roll forth, as the stone cut from the mountain without hands, until it filled the whole earth. The present Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with its millions of members and tens of thousands of missionaries, is continuing the work which will someday see the fulfillment of this divine promise. Now, what of all these things? Are they true or false? In the very nature of things there is no middle ground. Our position is not like that of other organizations or churches. We are a peculiar people, covenants and commandments. We say God has spoken from heaven giving us covenants and commandments. We say angels have come from the presence of the Lord giving the same priesthood possessed by prophets of old. We say Joseph Smith was called of God to commence the promised restitution of all things in the latter-day gathering of Israel. We say there are on earth today apostles and prophets in the same literal sense in which such men graced this globe and generations gone. We say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the kingdom of God on earth and that in and through it men may gain the kingdom of heaven hereafter. Now, these things are either true or false. Either God has spoken again or the silence of centuries remains unbroken. Either angels have come or they have not. Either the gospel has been restored or the diverse and variant forms of a waning Christianity remain the best hope of the world. Either Joseph Smith was called of God or he was not. If Joseph Smith was a prophet, our professions are true. From that spring day in 1820 to the present moment, Joseph Smith's name has increasingly been the center of religious inquiry. Hosts of men have sought to learn about his prophetic calling. Once when he was in dire and perilous circumstances the voice of God comforted him with this assurance, "The ends of the earth shall inquire after thy name, and fools shall have thee in derision, and hell shall rage against thee, while the pure in heart, and the wise, and the noble, and the virtuous, shall seek counsel, and authority, and blessings constantly from under thy hand." His atoning sacrifice. Certainly salvation centers in and comes because of Christ and his atoning sacrifice. He is the Lord God omnipotent, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. But Christ is known by and revealed to his prophets. Joseph Smith was the revealer of Christ and his gospel to the world for this age. When the ends of the earth inquire after the name of Joseph Smith, it is because they seek the knowledge of Christ and of salvation that was revealed to him. Indeed, the revealed decree of Christ to Joseph Smith is, "This generation shall have my word through you." Further, to the newly established church in this dispensation the Lord said, speaking of Joseph Smith, "Thou shalt give heed unto all his words and commandments which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me, for his word ye shall receive, as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith." The divine mission of Joseph Smith. Thus when we bear record of the divine mission of Joseph Smith, we are also certifying to the divine sonship of him whose servant the prophet was. And when men of sobriety and sense testify, in all humility and with deep conviction, that they know by personal revelation that Joseph Smith was a prophet, an obligation rests upon all who hear to investigate and learn for themselves whether that testimony is true. When Philip learned for himself that Jesus was the promised Messiah, he sought out Nathanael and bore this testimony: "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law, and the prophets, did write, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael was skeptical. "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" he asked. Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Nathanael came, investigated, learned for himself, and, speaking directly to Jesus, bore this testimony: "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, restitution of all things." Similarly, we say to all men everywhere, "We have found the mighty prophet of the latter days, the one called of God to bring to pass the promised restitution of all things spoken by the mouths of all his holy prophets since the world began." We know some will be skeptical. They will say, "Can it be that there are actually prophets of God on earth again? Is it possible that God gives revelation today?" To which we say, "Come and see, inquire, investigate, learn for yourself, ask God, remember the promise, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." In issuing this invitation we know full well that the pure in heart, and the wise, and the noble, and the virtuous, among all nations will gain personal testimonies of the divinity of this great latter-day work. They will know as we know that Joseph Smith was called of God, for the Spirit will bear record to them, as it has to us, and as it did to the modern apostle who, in announcing for the church the martyrdom of the prophet, wrote these words: "Joseph Smith, the prophet and seer of the Lord, has done more, save Jesus only, for the salvation of men in this world, than any other man that ever lived in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen."